the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
No, I'm American. It's just that it's fun to drive over to Canada for breakfast, or it used to be, just because you could say you can go to another country for breakfast.
I know.
The Pacific Northwest is beautiful. We've got the whole ocean here, lots of boating activities. I kayak a lot, and I'm a skier and a hiker, so we have this beautiful mountain right an hour from my house.
You got the best of everything. When I came there, you know what I love as you cross the border is that beautiful Buddhist temple and that Muslim mosque side by side. They are beautiful.
That's in Canada though.
Well, it's right there on the border, so I guess as soon as you cross the border, it's right.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yep, it's great. My son has a place up in Oak Harbor. So
okay, that's what we talked about that, because I used to live on Whidbey Island.
Yeah, it's really cool. But now you're living here on the Edge with me and my Brains.
That's right. Right there.
Thank you so much for being on the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. I have a harpist, okay? She is a mastermind when it comes to the harp. Beautiful. We're going to play some of her music. In addition to that, she's coaching and she's working with people with hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And I'm going to ask her a little bit about the trance state that you go into with hypnosis, because I can take myself down. Mm-hmm. And it's so wonderful to be able to do that with the backdrop of music. So welcome to the Edge, Kathy Hardy.
Thank you very much, April. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, there's no party without Kathy Hardy, right? Thanks for being on the Edge. Tell my Brains a little bit about you and how you found the harp, or the harp found you.
Well, that's a kind of a magical story, because I was director of nursing at the hospital on Whidbey Island. And one day I was in my office and I heard the most beautiful music I'd ever heard in my life coming down the hallway of the hospital. And I followed the music to the medical surgical unit. And there was a large man with long silvery hair, very straight. And he was playing this small harp that he had propped between his legs. And it turns out that he was a local musician. I asked him for my 40th birthday if he would take me as a student. So I bought myself a harp to celebrate my 40th birthday. And I studied with him twice a week for 10 years. I used to drive to Seattle from my home farther north. And so for many years, I played at weddings. I played at birthday parties. I played in nail salons. I played in churches. I played for Christmas events. And then I recorded that CD that you're going to play a cut from in 2013. I've always loved music. When I heard the harp, I sold my hammer dulcimer. I hung my bagpipes up on the wall. My clarinet was long gone. And I just threw myself heart and soul into harp music. I particularly like exactly the kind of music that I recorded on my CD. Old traditional music from 200 years ago. Hardly any of these tunes have composers who we know their names. We don't know their names. And they've just been handed down. And these tunes are very special tunes over the course of many, many generations. They've been passed along from fiddle to flute to voice to harp, one instrument after another.
Wow.
And today, each and every one of those stories has a rich history and tradition, and they all have a story. So when I do,
I want to hear the story about how she moved through the fair. We're going to play that for you now, Brains, because I want you to get it from the beginning. And then after that, when we come back, after listening, we're going to talk a little bit about hypnosis and how all of this comes together. Tell us a little bit about, though, the inspiration for She Moves Through the Fair. Why did you pick that song?
She Moves Through the Fair is a song about a lover who is watching his beloved move through the fair with her goods and her gear. She's getting ready to sell her things. She tells him as they pass, "It will not be long, my love, until our wedding day." And then he notices, he sees her leaving the fair. He sees the swan in the evening moving over the lake. And he thinks about how lovely it will be for them to be married. And that's the last time he sees her.
Well, this will not be the last time that we hear her. Brains, we're going to take a listen to She Moves Through the Fair. That was absolutely incredible. It was just so beautiful. It reminds me of medieval times. You know, I like to dress up sometimes and go with my daughter to the Renaissance Fair. And it just took me to that place. But it also took me to a very spiritual place when it came to my meditation, because I opt to do that. You know, Brains, I'm checking out my guests. I want to make sure that they are to the caliber that you expect. And let me tell you, Kathy is above reproach. Now, you mentioned before we played the song that you played other instruments. So you've always had an interest in music?
Always. I grew up in the home of a singer. My mother knew, So I had music in my life every day from the moment I was born.
So now how did you move from and pivot from, because a lot of people want to know, that's what they're doing, from nursing, I know that music was your love, but into hypnotherapy and helping people work through trauma and work through self-limiting beliefs?
I love that question, because I was a nurse for nearly 40 years, and I found that there were many things in life that Western medicine is not good for. It's not really good for helping people with addictions. It's not really good for helping people with emotional overwhelm or with relationship problems. A lot of times counseling takes really a long time, and hypnosis is not magic, but it can feel like magic because it's so fast and because change is at a deep level. So I was actually taking care of a young woman in the intensive care unit who was detoxing from alcohol. And I had just been to a party where I met a hypnotist, and she told me that people could be helped to stop smoking in as little as 1 to 2 sessions. Now, I didn't know that. A lot of people do know that. But at the time, I didn't know that. And many people in my family had died from smoking-related illnesses. So I was very interested. And I stood and watched this woman who'd been in the ICU many times. All of us ICU nurses knew her. She was a frequent flyer in the ICU. She had been unconscious for most of my shift. She regained consciousness. She got out of bed. She put her clothes on. I did not think she was going to make it to the door of the room without falling down. She was leaving against medical advice, and she had the right to do that. She walked down that hallway, out the door of the hospital, across the street to get a beer and start the cycle all over again. And I looked around the room and I thought, I have been working hard. I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I've taken really good care of her. I've hung all the intravenous magnesium, the Valium, I've given her all the sedating medication so she won't have a seizure and die from her alcohol abuse. And I realized that what I was doing wasn't helping her. And I felt like a cog in the broken end of the healthcare system, highly skilled. Right. Very good at my job. I thought, you know what? I'm in a place in my life. My kids are gone. I can go anywhere in the world and I can spend whatever I have to spend to become the best hypnotist I can possibly be. I'm a good learner. I've got a ton of degrees. I know how to learn. And I know I have this passion in my heart to help people in ways that they can't be helped through traditional medicine. I'm not down on traditional medicine. I mean, I have medications I take, blah, blah, blah. But I do think that hypnosis has the potential to help people in ways that they don't even realize.
Well, you know, that's what I noticed. I've talked to a lot of nurses, and a lot of nurses right now are personally experiencing PTSD because they may see, you know, a person that they've worked with 1, 2, maybe 3 a week. Now they're seeing 5, 6, 7 a day. And this is really messing with their psyche. There's a couple of questions I want to ask you. The first one is, I've also noticed that a lot of nurses leave traditional medicine and move into a more holistic, metaphysical, spiritual realm. Mm-hmm. Is that because they have seen the transition of life so much that they've actually seen people's soul separate from their body, and this has given them a new insight and a new perspective? Or do you think that they've seen, you know, some of the harm that traditional westernized medicine can cause? Now, not all of them, brains. If you on something, keep doing it. But I'm just saying, what do you think the encouragement for nurses to go more to the spiritual realm after leaving the medical profession?
That's a beautiful question. And I think that for each individual person, of course, it varies.
Right.
But I know that it's very, one of the most difficult situations in life is to watch somebody you care about suffer and not be able to do anything about it. And nurses care about their patients, and they watch suffering all day, every day. It's very, it's a moral, they sometimes call it moral outrage, and some people would term it soul sickness. But when you see something where there's such a need and you can't meet that need through traditional methods, you know, when you look at the history of the world and all the different cultures, there are many, many ways to approach health and wellness.
Right.
And Western medicine, I mean, we grew up in it. We hear it all the time. We get the ads on TV for drugs. You know, most of us, unless we've really looked around in the world, we really don't know another way to think about health, wellness, disease, and treatment. But there are many, many ways. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with Western medicine. If I'm in a car crash and I've got a bone sticking out, I want a trauma surgeon and I want an anesthesiologist and I want all the appropriate drugs for sure. But for deep emotional betrayals in life, I want hypnosis. To change a habit that I've been trying to change. If I've someone who's been trying to stop smoking, they've tried everything. They've tried the patch, the gum, the pills, cold turkey, whatever, and it's not working. Anytime you want to make a change in your life, anytime you want to change a habit or a behavior or a thought pattern, and you know what you need to do, but you can't make yourself do it, it's simply because there's something in your subconscious mind getting in the way. And it's right. Pretty easy to find that in hypnosis.
Right.
I went, after I got my initial hypnosis education, I started buying plane tickets, and I got, thank heavens it was before COVID, and I got on planes and I went all over the United States. I studied with some of the top hypnotists in the United States. I have a rock solid foundation in hypnosis. Wow. And I use a process called 5-Path. You can look it up. 5-Path hypnosis. It's very effective. And I can help people with many, many problems. I've helped a lot of people stop smoking since COVID. And there is not much in life that is more satisfying to me than to help somebody who's smoked, my last client, 45 years.
Wow.
A day. She spent upwards of $80,000 in her life on cigarettes. But, you know, it's not even the money that's the primary motivator for most of my smoking clients. It helps.
You know, again, they do this. Well, let me tell you about my smoking thing, brains. I used to smoke cigarettes, you know, thinking I was cute. And one day I got an allergic reaction. My mouth swole up. Every endorphin in my body started to fire. I got goose pimples. I was like, what in the world is this? Same brand of cigarettes that I had smoked before. Hmm. And again, I was maybe a cigarette a day. And after that, I told the good Lord, I said, if you take this devil away from me, you don't have to worry about me ever putting my lips on that anymore. It's the carcinogenic. It's the poisons in there. And it's the habit for me. And brains, also understand that COVID-19 is a respiratory disease as well. So if you can't breathe, you're jacked up, because the breath was the very first gift that you received. So now people have this sensation, but it's an underlying cause. You know, some people smoke as soon as they get into a confrontation. They got to go get a cigarette. Or as soon as it's break time at work, they got to go get a cigarette. Or right after they eat, they've got to get a cigarette. What is it about your technique and what you do with the subconscious mind that helps them tweak that and crave something else outside of that nicotine?
That's such a beautiful question. And I will answer that with two main comments. Number one, you know that my second book is called Quit Smoking for Good Without Gaining Weight. That just came out this year and it's available on Amazon under my full name, Catherine Hardy, Quit Smoking for Good Without Gaining Weight. But in hypnosis, the question you had was about people turning to something every time they feel tired, frustrated, angry, guilty, sleepy, depressed. Some people turn to cigarettes, some people turn to food. Food is actually more common because we have to eat anyway, and food tastes good, and we live in a food-oriented culture. Some people go to marijuana, some people go to overworking, overshopping, over screen time. People choose different things, and here's why. Your brain has two purposes. Number one is to keep you alive, and it's done a very good job at that. And number two, your brain wants you to be happy. It wants you to feel good. Now, when you take that first puff of a cigarette, you get an endorphin release. It does feel good. And your brain's like, wow, that worked. Let's do that again. When you wake up in the morning, you're like, your brain is like, well, we woke up. Whatever we did yesterday, let's do it again today. And if that includes cigarette or too much food or too much alcohol or too much marijuana, then your brain's like, I'm all for it. It's working for me. These short-term fixes, however, have long-term consequences, lung cancer, obesity and heart disease, alcoholism. So what I teach my clients in hypnosis is first we go in and we identify, and I don't know what we're going to find. I am like a tour guide or a coach while someone's in hypnosis. I know how to help them find those answers for themselves, and it happens very quickly. And then I work with them to understand that there's a secret language of feelings that's built into us. We have kind of like a homing device in our minds, our feeling states come directly from our subconscious mind. All feelings are good, even the bad feelings, because they let us know that something in our life needs attention. So, for example, even anger, I love anger because anger means that there's a feeling that something wasn't fair. And a lot of people as adults, they're like, oh, I had a client. She said, you know, I used to be so angry about my ex-husband, but I got over it. We have lunch together. We talk about the kids, da, da, da. Well, in hypnosis, what we found out, and she was very surprised that although her 56-year-old self had gotten over it, the 30-year-old that felt betrayed was definitely not over it. And she was angry. And so we went through an anger resolution and a forgiveness process in hypnosis.
Wow.
She emerged from that one session feeling so much lighter, so much peaceful, and better able to deal with life, because when you are feeling angry on the inside, and you know, people are like trees. And if you've ever seen a cross section of a tree, there's rings.
Oh, and yeah. So I'm a tree like, hugger. I'm
okay. And inside you is the baby you, the one-year-old, the 10-year-old, the 12-year-old, and all of those versions of yourself are inside you, and they're part of you. They're part of your subconscious mind.
Right.
And all of them have had experiences. And when we're children and adolescents, we don't have the perspective, the education, the knowledge, and the experience to make changes in our lives and to respond to things in a healthy way. So sometimes we're so upset, maybe over the loss of our first love or a rejection in the workplace or family conflict, something important. We don't know how to deal with it. We have a cigarette, we feel better.
Right.
Next time we have a problem, let's have a couple cigarettes. Pretty soon we're up to a pack a day. So what I help people with in hypnosis is understanding that these feelings are good. And rather than rejecting them, let's just lean in a little bit. Let's just lean in a little bit. What is that feeling saying? And if we can satisfy the root cause of that feeling, what need, want, or desire is not being met? What's a healthy way to meet that? And it's very easy to make this change once people understand it. In hypnosis, you are not in the beta brainwave state that we are in right now. You're right. In a more relaxed state that you are in when you do your meditation, the right. alpha brainwave state. The problem with doing this kind of work on your own is that when you're in the alpha brainwave state, like you're zoned out, zenned out in meditation,
right.
you don't have the ability to do the hard inquiry, to ask the questions, to look at the solutions. So that's why you need a hypnotist as a coach or a guide. I'll right. ask you questions. You are alert the entire time you're in hypnosis. This is a right. misconception that you're asleep.
A lot of people think that, you know, that they are not in control and that you are planting seeds and you're controlling, but actually brains, when you are in the state of hypnosis, they can't make you do anything you don't want to do. You're not going to end up barking like a dog or quacking like a duck. You know, right. if anything in your psyche that you're not normally prone to do, you won't do. I want to ask you a question though about this other book that you were so gracious to send to me.
Right.
This is Migraine Relief with Hypnosis. Now we talked a little bit about addictive behaviors, but I had a friend and my neighbor also that had migraines so severely that they had to take injections. How does that work with hypnosis?
Oh, that's such a good question. So when I first became interested in hypnosis, I signed up for hypnosis school and then I went looking for a hypnotist because I wanted to know what it felt like to be hypnotized and I wanted to see if hypnosis would help me. So I went to her and I said, I need help finishing creative projects. I'm a big procrastinator. I had written 3 novel drafts and not finished them. And I was having trouble sleeping. And she said, I can help you with those things. I never told her that I had had terrible migraine headaches since I was 13. You know, I suffered totally in my life, 46 years of migraine pain. And the World Health Organization says that migraine headache is one of the top 20 reasons for years of healthy life lost due to a disability. It's a worldwide problem. Well, what I found out myself was I never had a conversation with a hypnotist about migraine headaches. But when I became a hypnotist and I learned the self-hypnosis practice that I teach all my clients so that they can go off and have a practice that helps them for the rest of their lives, when I started doing that myself, 20 minutes twice a day, I found that pretty soon I wasn't having migraine headaches very often. And now I can count on one hand the number of migraines I've had in the last 6 months. In fact, I'm not even sure when I got my medication refilled because I hardly ever need it anymore.
Wow, that's incredible.
And people that suffer with migraines, they know that pain is horrible. It disrupts your entire life.
Yeah, I know. I had a coworker. She'd have to go in the bathroom and take injections.
I did too.
That is incredible. So you have been able to pivot and shift. Can you leave us with some encouraging words and something that we can implant in our mind subconsciously to help us calm down and get through this anxiety of COVID-19. I mean, it's no magic wand. We're not going to be able just to wish it away as some people want it to be. It's not going to disappear. It may live with us to the end of time. But what can we do to calm ourselves down to just kind of get over the anxiety and get through this?
Beautiful question. And I've got a gift for your watchers and your viewers.
Brains. You got to call them brains, Kathy.
Yeah, brains. I got a gift for your brains. So brains, listen up. There is on my website, there are free downloads for 2 beautifully produced and very effective audio recordings. These are hypnosis recordings. Relaxation is 17 minutes long. Beautiful. Wow. Music, and it has binaural beats embedded in it, and the binaural beats will help bring your brain wavelengths down to a point where it's sort of like a fast track to meditation. In 17 minutes, it's like taking a power nap. There's another recording on there that's 60 minutes long, and that's called Sleep. And I challenge any of your brains to listen to the whole thing from one end to the other, because so far no one has told me they've been able to do that, because it will put you to sleep. And right now, many people need help sleeping. You can use the sleep recording either when you're going to sleep or if you wake up in the middle of the night, just put it back on. The one important thing about these recordings is you must use earphones or earbuds because they have binaural beats in them. And there's a little information on my website if you're interested in binaural beats. Binaural beats are a magical way to help control your feeling state. Wow. And there's no side effects other than relaxation.
Right. I just got turned on to another one of my guests because I'm into singing bowls.
Yes.
So I absolutely love them. They take me where I need to go. But she was dealing with megahertz,
yes,
frequency, and I couldn't deal with it at first. But now I understand because it's breaking through that. It's taking you to a different level. It's taking you to a different frequency. Mm-hmm. So check out the binary beats. Also, share with my brains about your online course and program that you have.
Yes, I'm very excited about this because I have learned, I'm quite studious and I'm like, I devour books and I have learned so many ways to help people manage emotional overwhelm. And so I developed a program. It's 6 weeks online. The next program is starting October 7th. I'm taking applications. And I'm right in the middle of giving it right now. And there's a Zoom call, a live group Zoom call every Wednesday where we talk about that week's lessons. The program, there's a page that describes it on my website. And my website is SalishCHypnosis.com.
Well, I'm so excited. Brains, I'm going to select another track. And we are going to conclude with more beautiful music. Heart music from the wonderful, beautiful, smart, hypnotic Kathy Hardy. Please come back and share with us. I found so much information in what you laid out for us. I am going to definitely go and check out the binary beats. And Brains, be sure that when you listen to these things also that you're not in your car, you know, that you're in a nice place that you can enjoy it and take full advantage. I encourage you to dig deep and find out what's going on in that other 95% of your subconscious mind that we never tap into. There's a whole new universe. There's so many things to uncover and discover about yourself. Thank you again for being here on The Edge with me, Kathy. I think that you are amazing. Come back and keep playing music and sharing it with us because I enjoy it so much. It's so beautiful.
Thank you, April.
All right. Bye, brains. Have a good day.